Coming up, another edition of Garden Talk. Hi, I'm Larry Mueller, and we'll be visiting with Ed Lyon, director of the Allen Centennial Gardens, a little bit later on. He oversees the Allen Centennial Gardens in the UW-Madison Horticulture Department. But to begin with, Joy Cardine joins me today, and we're going to be talking about the Wisconsin Public Radio Winter Membership Drive. You count on WPR's Ideas Network to talk about issues that matter to you. We count on you to help keep these discussions on the air. So I hope you'll make a gift. Any amount right now, help us pay for the programs you depend on. Give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And Joy, welcome. We've got a little goal here to reach, haven't we?
We do have a goal. And good morning, Larry. It's really good to be here. And I love being able to do this pledge drive with you. Love Garden Talk in particular. 42 pledges, the goal for this hour of Garden Talk. Won't you be the first one? At WPR.org or 888-202-2552. These hourly goals are important to reach. They help us stay on track financially so we can keep the discussion going strong on Wisconsin Public Radio. So please take a moment right now and give any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And in just a moment, we will be talking with Ed Lyon from the Allen Centennial Garden, and he'll be giving his advice on ornamentals, for example, to beautify your garden. And talks like this, discussions like this on the Ideas Network are possible because of your financial support. So I hope you'll give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
You know, Larry, you give to Wisconsin Public Radio to support the programs, to help pay for the programming, but we do have an added incentive for your good deed during this edition of Garden Talk. We have something very special.
Absolutely. You can receive a two-volume DVD set by Melinda Myers titled Melinda's Garden Moments when you donate $100 or more. And so I hope you'll donate, well, actually any amount, whatever you can afford, but a $100 donation at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552 would be wonderful. Ask for this DVD set of volumes 2 and 3 of Melinda's Garden Moments as your thank you gift when you give $100.
I'm looking for my credit card, Larry. That's a
oh, it is
good
a
deal.
You wait till you see.
Two DVDs for a $100 pledge. That is just outstanding. And all of the great information, I'm sure, that is available on those DVDs. When you support Wisconsin Public Radio, you're supporting the Wisconsin idea to bring the resources of the university to the entire state of Wisconsin and beyond. Not every state has such an idea. Not every state has such high-quality radio like what you hear daily on Wisconsin Public Radio.
And WPR is one of the great things about Wisconsin, I think. It's something to take pride in. We certainly take pride in it. And I hope you'll join forces with many other Wisconsinites right now and make a contribution at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Giving at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is easy. All it takes is a gift of a dollar or two a week and a few minutes of your time.
A dollar or two a week adds up to $50 or $100 per year, and all year long you'll benefit from this program and all the WPR programs you love. So make your contribution at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Give as generously as you can.
You know, for a pledge of $120 or more, that's $10 a month. In addition to the two DVDs, if you would like those two DVDs, you will receive the WPR member card. Your donation will support the programs that you rely on, and you will benefit all year long with the two-for-one deals on the member card.
And you'll have a full year to visit the 243 restaurants, the 46 B&Bs, the 53 cultural attractions, and the 22 golf courses that are a part of the member program. Actually, I use it every year, and I more than cover the cost through the use of that card. Pledge your support now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And remember, a pledge of $120, that's $10 a month, will get you the member card.
Please do make that pledge now. Let's get Garden Talk off to a good start with a nice showing of support at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And be sure to ask for the two-volume DVD set, Melinda's Garden Moments, for your pledge of $100 a year or more. That's WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Joy, thank you so much. Ed Lyon's going to be with us by phone today. We're great to have him along by telephone. Joy will come back a little bit later on.
See you.
We will do that. We'll talk with her again. But we're going to switch our attention to Ed Lyon. Ed, are you? Well, let's see. Maybe I better put you on. Let's see if I got you on here. Ed, are you there?
I am here. I can hear you, Larry.
All right. Wonderful. Thank you so much for taking time during this pledge drive to be with us. I really appreciate it. And, you know, I walked by the Centennial Garden the other day, and the snow's going away, and there are lots of nice things are sort of popping out from under the snow.
Yeah, it's going to be a while before we see anything like our bulbs come up. But I just finished all of our ordering for next year. We're extremely excited about our new theme for the year. This is kind of an exciting time for me because I'm ordering all the exciting plants that people will be able to see in the upcoming season.
And what's your theme for the year?
Our theme this year is going to be called Color Your World. And what we're going to do in various beds is try to demystify a lot of these color terms that people hear. We're actually, as you walk in, you'll see the color wheel. And then we're going to have beds that will show you what analogous, complementary, monochromatic, all these various terms that you hear. We're going to show you what they mean and how to put combinations together that way.
Oh, it's going to be wonderful. I know, and I'm so happy to have an office nearby, the Allen Centennial Garden. So for me, it's an easy trip over, and I'm really looking forward to this summer. Well, we have lots of callers online to visit with you, Ed, so I am going to turn to the phones here, and Eric in Waukesha up first with a question. Eric, hi.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
You bet.
So, on my parents' property, we have about a 20 by 30 foot garden area that it seems like we can grow nothing but weeds, and there's been about 4 years of bad practices of keeping tomato plants in the garden over a year, not pulling them. So now, from this wonderful program, I'm worried about spores and all that good stuff I've learned from listening to you guys. What's the best way to approach that? Should I black carpet and reintroduce healthy organisms?
Well, I guess the first thing I do is just take your tomatoes out now. And if you don't have any additional space for them, containerize them for a year or two. Tomatoes actually do quite well in containers. And then I would go ahead and get some good organic matter to mix in with that soil that you have there. The spores, if you're concerned about such things as tomato blight, are not going to affect other vegetables. So you certainly then can put that plot into production for other vegetables. That's why they have you alternate where you're putting your tomatoes.
Sure.
But if you're looking for that plot specifically for tomatoes, then you will have to do something. And there are various things that they tell you. You can put black plastic down for a couple of years. The heat helps to destroy those spores. But I think, you know, we really hate to see somebody not have the use of a plot that large. I think I would just give it a couple of years without tomatoes, put in, enrich it with some more organic matter and just produce some other vegetables for a season.
Yeah.
For the stickers, the thistles that's been tilled down into the soil that seems to love to come up, should we try a new method of more a raised bed garden to try to smother that? Or what's the best way to fight the weeds and the mosquitoes at the same time?
Yeah, the weeds that you're getting, and this is the problem with vegetable gardens compared to our perennial beds and other beds, is those weeds will lay dormant until you till. And as soon as they get sunlight, they're going to take off again. So maybe a combination of things. If you don't, certainly building raised beds up and over them would certainly help, because you're leaving the actual seeds underneath. Mm-hmm. And we're big proponents of beds. We built some square foot gardening beds here at the gardens that people are extremely excited about. You can do more vegetables in smaller spaces by raising the beds. It doesn't take a lot. Philosophy is you only need 6 inches, where in the past we used to raise them much higher. If I can recommend to you a book, there's a book by Mel Bartholomew, and it's called The New, because it's a revised edition, The New Square Foot Gardening Book, something of that nature anyway. And
it's got new in the title.
Yeah, it does say something about new or updated. It was just recently put out within the last couple of years. So if you get his version, that's older than that. But it's an excellent book if you're at all interested in raised bed gardening. And it'll change a lot of the thoughts that we've had in the past about how much we have to raise beds and what we put into those beds.
There you go. Thank you very much for calling.
Thanks so much. You have a great day. Thank you.
Yeah, you too, Eric. Let's go to Paul in Watertown next. Hi, Paul.
Hi, how are you guys?
Great, thank you for calling.
Well, it's a good show. Me and my wife listen all the time.
Great.
I've got a question. I rescued all of my herbs from the porch last fall. I can't help doing that. And I put them all in a big window box. I've got thyme, rosemary, parsley, all the stuff. Now, the parsley is growing really well, but I have foam, like suds, all around the base of the plants.
Oh, like a spittle bug kind of thing, huh?
I have no idea. It's a really dense foam. I thought maybe because it's near the window, that might be secreting that to keep itself warm a little bit.
No, I don't think that. Ed, what do you think?
No, I haven't. I mean, if it was in the summer and outdoors, the first thing you'd think is spittle bug. But I have personally never heard of such a thing as that indoors in the wintertime. I can't even think of any. There might be some insects, but I don't think scale or aphids. I mean, especially if it sounds like real foam, they wouldn't be producing that much.
There's a lot. It's coming from. It's got to be coming from the stalks, and it's as thick as shaving cream.
Wow.
Yeah.
You got me stumped.
I don't know either.
There's one that maybe I would contact Cooperative Extension. And maybe if it is insect related,
Phil Pelletieri.
The entomology department, Phil Pelletieri.
Okay.
We hate to be stumped on things, but
I've never heard of that.
Well, I've got two separate groups of parsley, and one set has it, so I think I won't eat that stuff.
No,
unless I cook it up in a stew or something.
Or take a picture of it, and if you can take a picture of it and shoot that picture to Phil at the entomology, at the Department of Entomology, and I'm trying to think of the, I'm blanking suddenly on the Phil's title, but if you go to the Department of Entomology, you'll see Phil Pelletieri's website.
Okay.
Yeah.
It may even be something to do with the soil and not the plant or the insect. But
yeah.
Well, it's not happening on any of the other plants, and I've got them, all staggered throughout this big planter box.
The other place to go would be the Plant Diagnostic Disease Clinic.
Uh-huh.
At the UW, Brian Huddleston is the person there, and actually if you sent that to Brian, he might, it could be something that he might be more like. It sounds to me more, I'm reluctant to think of this as an insect issue, to be perfectly
mm-hmm.
honest.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds more like something else. Brian Huddleston would be a good one at the Plant Disease Diagnostic Clinic.
Okay. And one more thing I wanted to say. 3 years ago, there was a hardware store put out all the plants at the end of the season and the Gerbera daisies. I picked up a few plants, and I keep them on the porch every summer, and I bring them in the winter. This Gerbera plant is 4 years old, and I've got five beautiful flowers on it right now. Every winter, every winter it blooms again, so it just keeps going.
Oh,
really nice.
Yeah, that's wonderful. They don't do well unless you have extremely well-drained soils, and they suffer if you overwater. So apparently you know how to water plants indoors.
Something right over there, yeah.
Good job, Paul. Thanks for calling.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, appreciate it very much. Talking today with Ed Lyon, director of the Allen Centennial Gardens, And I really appreciate him being with us. He comes by every so often on Garden Talk here on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here, Judith Sears-Poisson, our producer. You can join in with your questions at 1-800-642-1234. And we have open lines, by the way, so we can get you on pretty quickly here. 1-800-642-1234. Email talk@WPR.org. Here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Thank you so much for listening in today on the Ideas Net. On this edition of Garden Talk, we visit with Ed Lyon, director of the Allen Centennial Gardens on the UW-Madison campus. A beautiful place to visit, let me tell you. Questions for Ed? Join us at 800-642-1234. We turn to Don in Madison next. Hi, Don. Thank you for calling.
Hi, morning. Thanks for taking the call.
Mm-hmm.
I've been growing heavenly blue morning glories, and I have to have them in the garden every year in a certain spot. In the last few years, they just haven't been doing very well, and it looks like there is something that may be nibbling on them as they start to come up, and then it keeps coming back as I treat them with some organic spray, and then it comes back again, and it comes back again. They just don't, and I'm not sure what it is. I can't find the pest, or I'm wondering if you might have some advice on that, and wondering about soil, if there's something possible to improve the soil or do something there.
I mean, not the soil. Ed, what do you think?
Well, it's definitely sounds like it's an insect or pest, since it's getting nibbled immediately. I'm really not sure exactly what pest that might be. It's kind of interesting because actually morning glories have become almost an invasive plant here at the garden. They seed down so rampantly. And the Japanese beetles absolutely adore them come summertime. But he's having an issue earlier than that. I kind of wonder if maybe it might. Sometimes slugs and earwigs don't necessarily stick to only your hostas. It could be something of that nature that early. It sounds like it's almost earlier than many of our insect pests are out. But it does sound, again, like another promotion for Phil Pelletieri. He probably has heard, you know, from more people that are having issues with morning glory specifically and might have an idea of what pests.
Yeah.
Particularly the time of year you're talking. If you told them what time of year it is, that helps a great deal, too, because certain insects are out and active at particular times of the year.
Are you mulched heavily in that?
Not heavily, no.
Okay.
Should I be?
No, I was just thinking, slugs, you know, it's often a good hiding spot for slugs, so I just wondered if
never treated for slugs, so maybe that's... I've treated for earwigs and beetles in the middle of the summer because they're around, Japanese beetles.
Your other option, if they're being, are they holes or are they being eaten right off? Because rabbits are certainly a huge issue, and they would nip them right off on you.
Yeah, I got to fence them off, and the sunflowers too from the rabbits, but no, it's not. It's
not
something
them.
Else. Maybe I'll try some slug treatment this year and see what happens.
Yeah, and shoot an email to Phil too.
Okay. All right.
It's not a cheap product, but I've had exceptional luck with the product called Sluggo, and that will handle both the slugs and the earwigs for you.
Really? Okay. Well,
Sluggo.
I'll give it a shot.
All right. Thanks a lot, Don. Appreciate it. And we'll turn to John in Mineral Point next. Hi, John.
Hi. The gentleman gardener that just called about his herbs with the foam on it.
Yeah.
I get that on my barrel cactus inside in the winter, and what I do is put a little bit of dish soap. I use Ivory soap in a quart bottle or a pint bottle, depending on how bad your situation is, and put it in there with some water and shake it like crazy till the whole bottle is foamed on the inside.
Yeah.
And pour that over the plant and leave it for 5 or 10 minutes, and then put it under a dish spray and wash it all off, and it'll usually clear it right up.
Well, then that sounds like it. It sounds like it is definitely insecticidal. And if the
I think it is, and this is a very organic way to do it. You can do it right in your kitchen sink.
Oh, that's good. Thank you for that tip, John.
Yeah, to give him, have him give it a try.
All right, thank you so much. It's one of the nice things about this program. Ed, you know, there's always somebody out there with good suggestions and advice if we that's can't true. Figure it out.
Yeah, that's right.
Paul in Waukesha, we're on to you. Hi, Paul.
Hello there.
Thanks for calling.
Yeah, thanks. I keep having a problem with gnats on my indoor plants. I bring in arugula out of the garden for the fall and have it over the winter. I used to have a problem with a gnat that seemed to breed down in the soil or on the surface of the soil. And I was able to take care of that by putting sand over the, a half, quarter inch of sand over the top of the soil. And that seemed to stop them from got rid of those gnats. But I appear to have a different situation now because I've got the sand down there. And I've got a small gnats flying around, and they're up on the leaves depositing small green, I don't know if they're eggs, if they're larvae, what they are. They're up on the leaves.
You may not have gnats, then. You might have something like a white fly or a thrip. If they're they're staying right around those plant materials and laying eggs on the plant material. So you might have an entirely different insect problem now than the gnats. And gnats you can actually control. First off, do not have peat in your mix. They're very attracted to the peat in the soil, and also just keeping those plants on the dry side. It's the moisture and the peat that harbors them. But I would say, because gnats will fly out and away from those plants, and this sounds like insects that are staying near your plant materials. The plant material is apparently a host for their egg laying, so you might be into something other than the gnat, so you're going to have to use something more insecticidal or the soap, something of that nature.
Yeah, I put dish soap on them. I maybe had it too strong. It seemed to dry out the leaves and killed most of the plants. I don't know if that was just too much soap.
Use your they call it insecticidal soap, which makes you lead to believe it's got a chemical, and obviously it doesn't. Try that, because you're going to have to now control the eggs and the hatchings of a whole nother insect. The fungus gnats lay their eggs in the soil, so you've got something other than fungus gnats.
Okay. All right. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. Larry Mueller here. This is the Wisconsin Public Radio Winter Membership Drive. And as a regular listener to this program, you know you're always going to hear something worthwhile. And today we're asking you to put a value on this program. Your gift is vital to Wisconsin Public Radio. It's part of what keeps us going. So I hope you'll support this program and everything else you hear on Wisconsin Public Radio by making a gift in any amount at WPR.org. or at 888-202-2552. Joy Cardine joins us again. And Joy, how are we doing?
Pretty good, Larry. We are looking to get another 30 pledges in the next 30 minutes or so in order to reach our goal for the hour. So your pledge right now helps keep this program on track and going strong. Make your contribution now of any amount to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
Did you know that master gardeners can get continuing education credits for listening to Garden Talk? That just goes to show what a valuable resource Garden Talk is to listeners. You can enjoy Garden Talk whether you're an expert or you're a novice. We have some of the best gardening resource people in our state right here to answer your questions. Ed Lyons, certainly one of them.
That's right. And whether those questions are about landscaping or fertilizing or weeding or all those other things that I don't know zip about, you can apply some fertilizer to the program right now. But this kind really makes you feel good and keeps this program going strong. You can help this program, help Larry Mueller, all of the programs on Wisconsin Public Radio by making a pledge of support at WPR.org. or 888-202-2552.
And you can receive the two-volume DVD set by Melinda Myers called Melinda's Garden Moments as a thank you gift for your pledge of $100. And these are filled with great information. Of course, you can watch and hear her. And we've got indoor starting. We've got windowsill, herb gardens. These are some of the topics green roof, bird feeders, affordable landscape makeovers, deer-proofing the garden, brighten bare spaces in the garden. Those are some of the topics.
That sounds great. That really sounds great. It sounds like taking a trip through the Garden Expo just a couple of weeks ago, Larry, and it's all right on one DVD.
Actually two
DVDs.
Two DVDs.
Yeah, and that sounds like just such a wonderful thank you gift for your pledge of $100 to Wisconsin Public Radio. That's $100 or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And sometimes you want to listen to Wisconsin Public Radio. You're not near a radio. That's okay because you can listen online from anywhere in the world. And we do have people. I saw some comments from people who listen in Japan, for example.
Right, yeah, they're all over.
It's amazing. Just go to WPR.org and click on our live streams.
And when you're at WPR.org, you can check out information about your favorite shows or guests you've heard. Our audio archives are there, and you can listen to past programs. Your pledge helps support all of these services.
And another thing you can do at WPR.org is make your donation. While you're there, do it now at WPR.org or call us at 888-202-2552.
Many listeners become donors out of a sense of social responsibility. You want to make a contribution to the greater good. If you think that Wisconsin Public Radio is a shared resource, and if you yourself have been getting value out of it over the past year or two or three, maybe it's time to put something back in.
We have a goal of what's our goal?
Our goal is
42.
42, and we have 30 to go in the next 30 minutes. If I'm counting, am I counting right?
Yeah, I think you're. Yes. Yeah. Now I'm seeing it. Yeah, we have 30 to go in the next 30 minutes or so. When you pledge $120 or more, you can choose food for 40 as your thank you gift. This thank you gift will provide 40 meals to those facing hunger in your area. Pledge now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And don't forget, a $100 contribution or more will send you the two-volume DVD set by Melinda Myers.
I seriously think I'm going to try to get that thank you gift, Larry. I know Melinda is a wonderful guest, as is Ed Lyon, your guest today. You have wonderful guests on Garden Talk and all week long, for that matter. Guests who share their expertise, their knowledge, and help all of us become better citizens and better gardeners. So make your pledge now of $100 or more if you'd like the two DVDs at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Thanks, Joy. Sure. Ed Lyon, our guest today, and great to have him along. And you can join in with your questions right now at 1-800-642-1234. John in Green Bay has a question for you, Ed, so let's go there right now. Hi, John. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, thank you for answering my call. I planted a food plot last year, filled it full of clover and sunflowers for the songbirds and whatnot that come in, the deer. But the sunflowers, I lost about half the crop. They grew up about knee-high, waist-high, and when the heads bloomed, they got a gray mold and shriveled up and died, and I don't know what to do about it or what caused it.
Hmm. What do you think?
We're getting a lot of disease questions today, aren't we? I have not experienced that myself on sunflowers. I would certainly, again, this is another place to check with the plant pathology department through UW Extension here on campus. Those folks are experts on every kind of disease. It does sound like gray mold. It sounds like something very similar to what you can see on zinnias and other ornamentals. We saw gray mold on our zinnias this past year, so it's probably what you had. Again, we had a wetter than normal summer at the time that those plants were starting to flower. I'm expecting that's probably what happened to your sunflowers, just like our zinnias. Once it happens, there's really not a lot you can do. Fungicides are preventative, so once it has it, you're just hopefully trying to prevent any more of it. But spacing, we made a mistake. Our zinnias were probably too close together. That doesn't help at all. You want good air circulation through your plant materials so that they stay dry. hold back on any kind of overhead watering. Certainly a sunflower with a very pubescent, fuzzy kind of stem and leaf is going to collect moisture. So make sure you don't have them in an area where you're doing overhead watering. And, again, it's going to be a seasonal thing. If we have a wet season, we're much more likely to see it wet and warm than we do in those drier summers.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. And, again, you can join in with your questions. We have open lines to get you on pretty quickly here at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234, or email us at talk@wpr.org. And we had an email from Margo. In the fall, I bring in my gerbera, is it, daisy plants in a large clay pot and put them in direct sun in a western window. By February, we get a mildew. I'd like to know why this happens every year.
And, yep, that's the Gerber daisy that our previous caller was mentioning. Again, these plants absolutely detest a lot of moisture. And keep in mind, even a growing and flowering plant in the house in the wintertime still isn't using the same amount of resources that they would use outdoors and in the summer. So you can really step back, hold off on the amount of moisture that you're giving them that time of year. Let your plants go to the point where maybe they're even close to the point of showing wilt before you put water. Watch the soil. Don't just base your watering on what you see on the top. Many of these pots may still be far more moist down in where the root systems are. Gerber daisies just don't like a lot of moisture. Sounds like the humidity levels in the house might be fairly high as well in order to have air humidity to the point where it's helping these. It's a fungal disease that's on it. They're a pretty touchy plant. I quit doing gerberas a while ago because they're very fussy about their root systems, the amount of moisture, very subject to fungal diseases.
You know, I had an amaryllis plant from Jung's Seed Company, and that just flowered recently, Ed, and I had seven enormous flowers on that amaryllis. Is that something fun this time of the year to have in your house or not?
Yeah, you know, a lot of people this is the time of year when they're forcing out things like the amaryllis and narcissus. And again, even you still have to keep them, you know, sort of on the dry side. There's far less sunlight right now. They're just not utilizing the same amount of energy they would otherwise.
Yeah, but they're really beautiful when they flower.
We all like to see a little bit of bloom this time of year.
That's for sure. Lynette in Hubertus has a question or comment. Hi, Lynette.
Hi. I have a potted rosemary plant that I got last May, and I kept it outside all summer long. It was fine, and I knew I was going to struggle with it, bringing it inside, but it's almost gone now. I've tried everything to keep this thing alive, from misting it, putting a humidifier by it, letting it dry out, not letting it dry out.
I'm surprised we haven't had this question already since people are talking about indoor plants. When we were at the Garden Expo, which we just recently finished up, our booth, probably the number one question we get is, why is my rosemary plant dying? And it happens. I gave up on rosemaries in my own window. And it's always, they look good right up until February. And that's when the question comes up, and then they literally start drying up. No matter what it is that you do for them, they die. Now, there will be people that will tell you, oh, no, I have rosemary all year long. They usually have some form of a sunroom, greenhouse probably something a little bit different than just the standard kitchen window. But that plant is just simply notorious for getting to be about this time of year of literally drying right up on you. And once it starts, there doesn't appear to be anything you can do to stop it. The good news is rosemary plants are relatively cheap. They don't cost a lot of money. You may even be able to go to a greenhouse or garden center and find some now. So it's not as big as an issue as if, you know, you have a lot of money into a plant that's dying on you. But don't feel bad. It's not you. It's nothing you're doing. It's happened to all of us.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. Well, at least it's good to know that we're not the only ones doing it. Let's go to Lisa in Chippewa Falls. Lisa, hi to you. Thank you for calling.
Hi, Larry. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Hi, Ed. I have a question about Linaria seeds, you know, the money plant.
Okay.
I'm just wondering, I know it's a biennial, and I just planted it. So does that mean I won't get blooms this year if I'm starting it early?
I'm sorry, my line being on a cell phone was a little fuzzy. What plant were we discussing?
Lunaria?
Lunaria, the money plant.
Honesty? Yeah, what biennial means is the first year you're going to get plants. You won't get any flowering. The second year you get the flowers. The flowers set their seed that are going to then drop and then start that whole cycle all over again. Be advised, that's a plant my mother absolutely adored. Once you put one plant in, you're going to have hundreds because it seeds down and regenerates rapidly. It's one of those plants that people don't realize are biennial because they say, well, I get them coming up every single year, but they generate very, very easily by seed. And so you'll constantly have them. You will not have to put them in every 2 years, I assure you.
Okay, so it doesn't make any difference that I planted it early and then I'm going to be putting it outside. That won't speed up the process for blooming?
It's pretty much that. It needs that whole first year do the vegetative growth, and it won't even be genetically stimulated to produce the flower until the following season. It's all season for plants. That's what they sense hormonally.
Okay, great. Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. You can join in, too, with your questions at 1-800-642-1234 or email us at talk@wpr.org, talking with Ed Lyons, director of the Allen Centennial Gardens, here on Garden Talk on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public. Great to have you along on the Ideas Network as we visit with Ed Lyons of the Allen Centennial Gardens. Join in with your questions at 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us. The email address is talk@wpr.org. That's talk@wpr.org. We would love to hear from you. Lots of callers online, so let's go to Kathy in Wausau next. Kathy, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi, thanks.
Sure. What's on your mind?
I have a condominium, so any plant that I have to go out and buy potting soil. And when the plants get sick, usually I throw that soil away and I get new stuff. Is there any way to sterilize that via maybe the microwave or boiling water? Is there any way to reuse that soil?
I'm going to need you to repeat that one for me, Larry.
Okay. What happens is Kathy has a potting soil, and when her plants die or get sick or whatever, she throws the potting soil out and gets new potting soil for her plants, wondering if the potting soil that she was kind of tossing out, if is there a way to sort of sterilize that soil, maybe microwave it or something so that she can reuse it.
Yeah, but I don't think that's your problem, really. I mean, when you buy the potting soils, these soils today are what they call soilless mixes. So they're already coming in as so-called sterile ingredients, and you shouldn't be buying any potting soil that has disease issues. Now, however, if you're buying something that they call like a topsoil or something of that nature, then you could have issues. Are you doing that, or is this just a standard soilless mix potting soil?
No, I'll buy potting soil, and the plant will look good for a while, but say, you know, I have it over the summer, and it gets sick, and it's, you know, when you have a lot of plants, you end up throwing a lot of soil away if your plants have had disease or mold on the soil or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, for the cost of potting soil, to do some type of process where you're trying to heat treat it probably isn't worth it. I think what I would do is toss out that soil if you think it has issues, or the potting mix, and then just buy new potting mix. You're going to be more secure and comfortable in knowing that you have something without those issues in it. Sometimes to sterilize some of these materials takes like an intense steam heat, or it just sounds like one of those things that it's going to be more work and effort than the cost of a new potting mix.
Yeah, there you go. Thanks, Kathy, for calling. Marion in Madison, we're on to you now. Hi, Marion.
Hi, I have a hibiscus question.
Okay.
I have two large hibiscus. One has kind of rounded leaves, and the other has more, it has like pointed segments on it. One is the rounded leaf is yellow, and the other one is pink. And I know I brought them in. I've got them in huge pots. And I wanted to know, what am I supposed to do with them to prepare them for the spring? They're blooming right now.
Okay.
Yeah, there's really not much you need to do other than just keep them going. Again, indoor plants this time of year, hold back on the water. It sounds to me like if they haven't dropped leaves on you and they're blooming, you have them in a good environment, an environment that they're happy with. So there's really not much more that you need to do. Sometimes if they get really leggy, when I used to hold over hibiscus, I might cut them back in advance of spring. But it sounds to me like if you have a good amount of foliage on those plants and they're blooming, you're doing just fine. I wouldn't do any fertility until you start getting into the spring. Again, even though they're blooming, they're still not using a tremendous amount of resource in the winters compared in the summertime.
There you go. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. Larry Mueller here with my guest Ed Lyon, and Joy Cardine joins us as well. This is during our Wisconsin Public Radio Winter Membership Drive. Our goal is to keep bringing you discussions with people like Ed Lyon, director of the Allen Centennial Gardens. We do that in large part with listener contributions. Your gift, any amount right now, makes a big difference as we raise the money we need to make these discussions possible. So please give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And Joy, how are we doing on the pledges?
Larry, we are looking for 24 pledges in the next 10 minutes. So, got our work cut out for us, and you too. Thank you, though, if you've already given. If not, help us stay on track by making your contribution right now. Help Wisconsin Public Radio grow with your contribution at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Every week we hear from a different guest expert about one of your favorite pastimes, gardening, and some guests may be horticulture professors who can answer a wide variety of general questions. Others specialize in lawns or trees or fruits and vegetables or native plants, organic gardening, and many, many more. So I hope you'll support this program. Put a vote in for Garden Talk, where you get so much gardening information all year long. Make that pledge at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
What's nice is you get to decide the amount of your pledge. Every pledge is appreciated, and every pledge helps pay for the programs you love on Wisconsin Public Radio. Consider asking for the 2-volume DVD set by Melinda Myers called Melinda's Garden Moments as your thank you gift when you give $100 or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I do feel that it's important to give what you can to public radio.
It's really important to support this kind of programming. It's not available elsewhere.
It's a station that sometimes challenges my assumptions.
I have found new friends that keep me really informed.
It's a station that doesn't always agree with me, which is what people seem to like to listen.
And I just feel like it's stealing to listen and not contribute.
I choose to become a member. You should choose to become a member too.
And I hope you become a member. It's easy to do, easy to support Wisconsin Public Radio. Listener support is such a big part of why this program is available to you right now. So I hope you'll make your donation in support of the programs you count on at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And it's not really very hard to contribute, is it?
It couldn't be simpler, Larry, and I know from experience. You can go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. We'll need your name, contact information, the amount of your pledge, and how you'd like to pay for it.
So you can use a credit card if you'd like. It saves both you and Wisconsin Public Radio time and the price of the stamp, or better yet, sign up for automatic sustaining donations from your bank account. Don't worry, we don't share your personal information with any other organizations. Give now. Put a vote in for Garden Talk at WPR.org or by calling 888-202-2552.
And after you make your pledge, you will feel good every time you turn on the radio. You'll have the satisfaction of knowing that you helped make this station possible.
Wisconsin Public Radio is listener-supported. Your pledge not only ensures our future, it ensures your future listening. So please pledge now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and you will feel good all year long.
And you'll feel really good if you decide to pledge $100 or more and elect to receive the two-volume DVD set by Melinda Myers called Melinda's Garden Moments. Your donation will support the programs you love, and you can also get this very nice thank you gift. Not one, but two DVDs chock full of great gardening information from Melinda Myers. Everything from rain tree, rain barrels to growing healthy habits.
Hiding the air conditioner.
Hiding the air conditioner. I need to know how to do that. Yeah. And I mean, it's gardening tips for all year round on these two DVDs from Melinda Meyer. And it is just such valuable information that you get every Friday and Saturday on the air on Garden Talk. But a special thank you gift for your pledge of $100 or more DVDs that you can refer back to time and time again. Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You enjoy the program during this program during the week, and maybe you also enjoy Car Talk or What Do You Know or A Prairie Home Companion, old-time radio drama on the weekend. We've got something, I think, for you every day of the week, and weekends are kind of extra fun.
I like listening on the weekends. You might even listen early in the morning to a certain call-in talk show that talks a lot about politics. But, you know, Larry, there is so much more to life than politics. I think that talking politics is very important, and it keeps us informed as citizens.
Sure.
But talking about gardening and other lifestyle situations also that gives us a well-rounded life here in Wisconsin, thanks to Wisconsin Public Radio. So make your pledge now to support it all at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Maybe you donated a few years ago and you feel like you've done your part, but you enjoy listening to WPR year after year. We need your continued support to keep this organization strong.
You know, I know a lot of people have donated before, but they just kind of let that lapse. Has it been a while, maybe, for you since you donated? Well, you can rejoin now, and no one's going to ask you any questions. WPR.org or 888-202-2552. We are happy to welcome you back.
You know, Julius Caesar supposedly said, "I came, I saw, I conquered." Well, we know for a fact that Susan from Bayside has said of her WPR listening, "I learn, I laugh, I think.
I love that. I learn, I laugh, I think. What a great motto. If that's your motto, join Susan in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio by making a pledge any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
14 more pledges to go to reach our goal for this hour. Keep your membership active. Maybe it's been a year since you've pled. Maybe it's been a little bit longer.
You can think of your support of Wisconsin Public Radio like you think of a newspaper subscription or a magazine subscription, something that you renew each year. So won't you renew your support to WPR right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we're down 11 more to go to reach our goal for the hour. Give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Ask for the two-volume DVD set by Melinda Myers called Melinda's Garden Moments with your pledge of $100. You can learn about container gardening, growing potatoes in a box, even.
You know, we have just a minute or so to go to reach the goal for this hour. We can do that with your help. You can continue calling through the news to help us reach that goal of 42 calls by noon today at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. You really, really will feel good after you make that pledge.
And $100 or more, we'll be happy to send you a copy, a two-volume set, DVD set of Melinda Myers talking about all these wild and crazy things, moss gardens, shade under black walnut trees, and how to deal with that. Those are a couple of the things. Go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. Make your contribution. You're listening to Garden Talk here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here with my guest Ed Lyon, director of the Allen Centennial Garden. And Ed, John in Prentice has been waiting a while, so I'm just going to go right to John and see what's on his mind. Hi, John.
Hello. Say, I'm planting some flower seeds and maybe some tomatoes, and I'd like to know, should I leave the plant lights on them while they're not germinated yet, or wait till they pop up and then put on the lights? And about how long should I leave the lights and the like? And I'll hang up and you can discuss this on the air, okay?
Okay, Ed, what do you think?
Yeah, you don't need any light at the point that they're germinating underground. They're not going to utilize that. And once they're up, you can supplement lighting on them. But don't leave the light on 24 hours a day. In fact, if you have a sunny window, there's probably no need really to put grow lights over these seeds anyway. Usually grow lights are only used if you're doing them in a basement or a room without light. Also be aware that if you're starting tomatoes and a number of these seeds now, and maybe you've had good luck with it, but you've got a fair amount of time to go yet before you're going to be putting them in the garden and really pushing them for growth, especially with grow lights. You're going to have some probably spindly plants by the time we can put them in the ground after mid-May.
There you go. Thank you very much for that. Let's go to Tom and Earl next. Tom, hello.
Yeah, I got a question about blight, an Easter plant, and an Easter plant.
On an Easter plant,
I got two questions. The first question is about blight, and the second question is about a blooming cactus Easter plant.
Are you talking about an Easter lily?
I think he said an Easter cactus.
Easter cactus or something like that.
A cactus that blooms at Easter time. But that could be a number. You know what? What does it look like?
It got stalks coming out of the base with thorns all the way around it.
It might be a hard one. Ed, what do you think?
Are you talking about an outdoor plant?
No, it's an indoor. It's an indoor, right?
Indoor.
Yeah.
Boy, the only two things I know that they would call an Easter plant, it sounds to me like you might be talking about an Easter lily. That would look like a stalk coming up out of the ground. Does it have a white lily flower on it? They're sold right around Easter time.
These are pink flowers.
Pink flowers, okay.
Yeah, it sounds like he's got an Easter cactus then.
Yeah, that's what I got.
Yeah, Easter cactus.
Anyway, and what is it he wants to know about the Easter cactus?
The leaves got dried up and brown and fell off one half of the side,
okay.
One half the plant.
Yeah, that's probably another question for UW Extension. They will do that if you overwater them. They're cactus. They don't like an awful lot of water. But I hate to diagnose and try to tell you exactly what something is without actually seeing the plant. Another thing I would like to point out, because so many of our questions today have been on indoor plants and diseases and insect issues, I highly recommend to you folks to recommend your independent patronize your independent garden centers. Here in Madison, we have some wonderful ones like Klein's and Johansson's. These folks are around for you all year round. They have indoor plants they're probably selling right now as well. They probably have folks on staff that could help you. In fact, if you wrap your plant up in some plastic so that the cold doesn't affect it and so it can't transfer disease to anything else, you're very likely able to take that plant right in. Have them look at that plant. For us to diagnose diseases and insect issues over the radio, over the phone, without an image, it's very, very difficult for us. And we may tell you something based on a description that isn't 100% accurate as well.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay. But I got another one about mildew. I think it's mildew anyway. This was about in September, October on the pumpkins, cucumbers.
Again, we had another year where we had some excess moisture and some heat. Those, again, are seasonal things. Very often you can get mildew on those plants, and it still doesn't, as long as it's not a blight, it doesn't affect the plants producing. So I really have issues with a lot of people that anytime they see a little bit of a bite out of a plant or a little bit of something like mildew, that's probably a seasonal thing, but it's not really affecting the overall health of the plant. We don't want to just run out there and spray chemicals every time. If you watch nature, there's damage through both insects and disease that are happening all the time to plants out there, and they adapt, they adjust, and until it's something that really threatens the life, I think the consumer has gotten to the point where they see any little bit of damage, it's time to get those chemicals out, and that's not something that we need to do. So if it's powdery mildew, rarely is that going to affect the health of the plant or the yield on that plant. Just realize that the following year you might have a hotter, drier year, and powdery mildew won't be the issue. It's a lot more aesthetic than it is damaging.
An email. Thank you for calling, Tom. We had an email from Sandra in Madison, where I work. There are beautiful miniature spruces, I think they're spruces, that bend over about 3 feet above the ground. They were waist deep in snow this year, and after the snow melted away, the needles were all brown, wondering if they'll recover. Also, my arborvitae seem to be unaffected by similar snow cover, which, so is there some susceptibility to this kind of damage with evergreens?
If they were covered in snow, that actually protected them from any browning. The snow cover did not affect them at all. The biggest issues with conifers is a lot of people don't recognize the fact that a needle is a leaf. It's a modified leaf. Deciduous plant materials protect themselves from losing moisture in the winter by dropping their leaves. That's where the moisture leaves that plant. Conifers, however, cannot do that. They still have their leaves on them, albeit needles, and they are still transpiring out water throughout the season. Most of the browning and death that we see on conifers is because they have a frozen root system, and somehow they have transpired out water that they can then no longer to take back up into the root system. So my thought is if these, especially if they were newly planted, they did not get enough moisture into their system in the fall. The single best thing you can do for your conifers to protect them from this is if we go through dry falls or those plants are dry wherever they're growing in the fall, is to keep them adequately watered. So the very first thing when I see browning that comes through as a result of winter, to me, is either desiccation from wind and sunlight, which it couldn't be on these because they were under snow, yeah, or they have somehow lost their moisture content.
Let's turn to Lori in Sheboygan next. Hi, Lori. Thanks for calling.
Thank you. I want to tell you about my apple trees. They're 20 years old. They've never been sprayed or pruned. And last spring, 2010, I plugged each tree with four fertilizer sticks in the ground. And the end result was a zillion sprouts on the branches, and I've not gotten out there to prune. Is it too late?
To prune your apple trees?
Yes.
No, not at all. This is
probably a good time.
Yeah, this is the time of year that people do, and be it fruit trees or any of your ornamental trees, several reasons for that. One is you can see the form of the tree without the leaves, but also there aren't the insects and diseases to transfer into them. This is the time of year your orchards are doing all of their pruning. They're trying to get that done before it warms up and those plants start generating growth again. It's kind of that's a funny little story. My first degree was in dairy science, and there was a group of us that roomed together, and we dairy farmers kept complaining to our fruit roommates that, you know, they didn't do nearly the work that we did 365 days a year. And then one of them took us out to the family orchard in the winter. Notice what they did through the winter time. We decided we were perfectly happy milking cows. That is the time of year. So this is a great time for you to do that.
I was a little bit worried about the sap. That's going to start running in a week or two as soon as we hit 40. And I don't know if I started pruning now, if it would have enough time to heal over to prevent that from leaking.
No, again, it's going to be, if there is any sap movement whatsoever, and there's probably not going to be much on an apple tree, it's going to be coming out. And again, we don't have the insects, the diseases, the types of things that then somehow get in through those wounds. So, you know, obviously the sooner the better. We never know once we get into March and April, you know, what kind of year we have. So the more frozen, the more dormant those trees are, the better off you are doing it then.
Second question, thank you. What about spraying? When do we start spraying, and what do we start with? I guess I better get on schedule here.
Yeah, I would go to the UW Extension Learning Center. They have some absolutely wonderful brochures on there for just about anything that you could possibly imagine. They have them on there for very specific fruit trees, when to do what with those, just fabulous publications. Then you'll have that as part of your resource library.
Yeah, that's a very good point. It's the Learning Store, UW Extension Learning Store. You go there, you're going to get the exact recommendations. You can read them off online, even print them off for free if you want. So that's a great way to do it. And Lori, thank you so much. We had an email from another Larry who says, I have a great strawberry bed. Last year, half of it went to slugs. He wonders about using a mulch like cocoa beans as a deterrent to slugs.
I don't know if just the smell or the nature of cocoa beans would. I would hesitate because cocoa beans will bring, they hold a lot of moisture. And obviously that's what slugs like, is moisture. Standardly, I believe what most people will mulch strawberries with is straw. And straw is very heavy in lignin. It's very glossy. So the water actually goes off it. It doesn't sit there. I would suspect something like cocoa bean or a mulch that holds in moisture will create more issues rather than less.
Yeah, that's probably very true. And plus, if you have pets, some the cocoa can be toxic to some animals. So Amy wonders, where can she find a Poincaré lilac?
A what lilac?
Poincaré? Poincare?
I'm not sure, but here's a great place to use your internet Google source.
Yeah.
I would Google it and, you know, put in the name of the lilac, maybe put in the area that you're searching for it. That's when we are trying to track down hard-to-find seeds and plants and things for the gardens. It's amazing. We use Google. You might think we'd use some more exotic way to find these plant materials, and Internet searches work.
Internet searches actually absolutely do work. Ed Lyons, our guest here on Garden Talk on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. He's a wonderful guest, isn't he? Joy Cardine joining me, and we're asking you to think about how much you rely on WPR's Ideas Network for enlightening, informative discussions. And we're here right now to remind you that WPR relies on you to keep programs like this one on the air. This is our winter membership drive. A gift of any amount makes a big difference in our ability to pay for the programs you count on. Make a gift now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And Joy, we just met our goal for the last hour.
That's good news. Thanks very much for your support. And if you pledged in the last hour, we made the goal last hour. New goal for this this half hour, Larry. In the next 10 minutes, we are to raise 33 pledges, and it looks like we have five in so far. So you do the math. We need your pledge right now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. Thanks if you've already given. If not, please help us keep on track.
You've been enjoying the conversation, I'm sure, with Ed Lyon, director of the Allen Centennial Gardens, about ornamentals to beautify your garden. I hope you'll take a few minutes to make this hour and the many hours to come possible. Put a value on the programs you enjoy every day, programs like Garden Talk. Then make a pledge, kind of a vote for Garden Talk and all the other good programs at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And Larry, I am really excited about this thank you gift that's available during this edition of Garden Talk. You will receive the 2-volume DVD set by Melinda Myers called Melinda's Garden Moments as your thank you gift for a pledge of $100. And there's just tons of information on these DVDs, Larry, yes?
You can rain barrel installation. You can, obviously, it's a DVD, so you can watch Linda actually demonstrating how to do these things. So rain barrel installation, deer proofing the garden, managing powdery mildew, that comes up, saving heirloom tomato seeds, big results from small gardens, containers at the home landscape. Integrate
everything.
Your patio. Bring
everything.
In the birds.
That sounds so good. So your pledge will help support this program and all of what you hear on Wisconsin Public Radio. And you can enjoy the volumes 2 and 3 of the DVD set by Melinda Myers called Melinda's Garden Moments for your pledge of $100. So please pledge now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Wisconsin Public Radio is my source for information on recent news, background on authors, music, for entertainment, whether it's Prairie Home Companion or Car Talk or Larry Mueller, or educational information about things that I value in my life, my pets, my garden, certainly local politics, state politics, national politics. It's really my total media source.
Larry Mueller here with Joy Cardine, here to ask for your support of Wisconsin Public Radio. Please pledge now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Maybe your gift is $50, hopefully at least $50 or $100, $500, $1,000, whatever amount you choose is the right amount at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. too.
And remember that your pledge of $100 or more will get you the DVD set by Melinda Myers. You know, Larry, you might consider a $10 a month pledge. That's $120 a year. You can spread it out monthly, $10 a month. You'll get not only the DVD set, if you would like that, but also the WPR member card, which is the card that entitles you to two-for-one deals at restaurants and B&Bs and golf courses and cultural attractions. So it's our way of saying thank you for supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks for supporting Garden Talk. So consider that $10 a month pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Your gift helps ensure the programs like this one, like Garden Talk, are available for you, also for the next person to discover. I hope you'll give right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Well, if you can contribute at least $100, I do $120 actually, because then you get the membership, the member benefit card, and the two-volume DVD of Melinda Myers' Garden Moments, where she's talking about micro gardening and water conservation. And she's got one that says, "Some like it hot." I don't know what that's. I think
it might be a pretty
peppers,
risky.
Could be peppers. Yeah, could be peppers. We don't know for sure.
DVD and hot. WPR.org and 888-202-2552. To make your pledge of any amount to support this great program. You listen to Garden Talk because you hear wonderful guests and great information. And you listen to Garden Talk and Larry Mueller because you love Larry Mueller, frankly. Larry is the host that all of us here at Wisconsin Public Radio look up to. He is the master. He is the pro. He's got such wonderful rapport with all of his guests. He makes all of us feel comfortable when we're in the studio or if we're on the telephone asking a question because you enjoy Larry's friendly but thorough style with all of his guests. Won't you make a pledge now? It'll make Larry feel good, too.
Oh, yeah.
Well, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
She has me blushing now.
He's all red. But you know what? We will really all be happy if we can make the goal this half hour and only a few minutes left to go, Larry, and 25 pledges to go.
25.
We've done it before, and especially with Larry Mueller and Garden Talk and this wonderful DVD set from Melinda Myers, we can do it with your help. $100 or more, and we'll send you the DVDs. WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and just minutes to go.